Well, hello, here we are again. It's the 23rd of March, a Monday, and we're hoping this will go out sometime today. Didn't do a update on Sunday. We do need some time away from each other. Well, the weekend in Britain was interesting, with so many people really not taking the virus very seriously and, going out and enjoying themselves. The problem with this is that, regardless of whether that's right or wrong, the government has firmly put the ball in the people's court by saying, if you don't do what we request or ask of you, then we'll force it through. And that's the problem, that if people don't social distance 2 meters, 2 yards from each other, then the government's got, as it sees it, absolutely every reason to say, well, you can't do it, so we'll force the issue. You can expect all parks and gardens and ornamental places in the London area to be closed. They're already starting it. They'll be done. We can expect a reduction in who's allowed to use public transport. We can see all non-food stores being told to close by this Friday. So literally the only shops in Great Britain that will be open will be the doctor's surgery, the banks and shops selling food, and pharmacies. There might be a couple of other things that might be open, local town halls and things like that. But basically, that'll be where we're going with this. That seems to be quite the button. Still reading a huge amount about 5G. I think my point's fairly well made. It's fairly clear where I stand. You were to switch 5G on in a whole row of houses or a whole street, then everyone should get this disease. But that's not what's happening, because it's a virus. It is a virus that's been transmitted. That's why people are catching it from each other. They're not catching it from an antenna or an aerial. If you turn 5G on and you bathe 500 people with it, well, then you'd expect 500 people to show the symptoms, or 450. But what's happening is you're getting three or four in that group. That's because it's a virus. It's a virus created in a test tube, and it passes just like the common cold does, or like the flu does. Anyway, that's my point. A few interesting things that have occurred up. Harvey Weinstein. He was convicted of sexual assault and sent to prison. Surprise, surprise, has developed the virus. So don't be overly surprised if it's announced that he's dead from the virus and suddenly his body is spirit away. So it's very interesting that he has been reported to have the virus. That's a very useful mechanism for somebody then to say that he died and then he was got rid of, when in reality they'll just give him a new name and plastic surgery and all the rest of it. I mean, he could well have the virus. He did stop off in a New York prison on his way, so it's conceivable that he could have got it. But it's also conceivable that if people are looking for a way out here, then that's an interesting point. Reporting that New York governor has been successful in lobbying the president for the National Guard. National Guard are going to be deployed to New York, also California and one other state, and they're going to provide medical facilities, just as I saw on the M1 in Great Britain a few weeks back now, a great convoy of lorries, and people were just telling me, oh, there's nothing special in that, that's normal. But I have enough experience to know the difference between standard troop movements and a medical facility being moved up the road. And that's what was being moved up the M1. It was a medical facility. And so it's interesting that in America, the National Guard are providing 1,000 emergency beds in a makeshift hospital. And that will actually be using sports halls, arenas, and their own tented environment. They won't just be delivering supplies and food, they will actually be, providing service. So the National Guard deployed to New York, so the governor got his wish there finally. and California and elsewhere. And that's very interesting because when the military become involved, it's usually a sign that the civilian sector is not going to cope. Now, in Great Britain, that's already occurred. You may not have picked up the news, but 1.5 million vulnerable people are basically being told, you've got to stay indoors for 12 weeks, and to make life easier for you, we're going to deliver you food. And in many cases, the British Army are going to deliver that food to your door. For those people who are very vulnerable in Britain, don't have anyone to look after them, these food parcels will be free, paid for by the state, by the government. They'll be very basic, I think, but at least they'll be there for people who just don't have the ability to either get out themselves or have someone to look after them. So we're seeing the military beginning to take a domestic role in both countries. The Prime Minister's questions at the conference he does, there was a very interesting journalist who asked him a question and said, Prime Minister, you've consistently said that Great Britain is about 2 weeks or so behind the Italian model. And he said that this journalist said that he'd looked at the figures and where Britain was at the time of the question, this was about 2 days ago, he said that if you were to take back 2 weeks and compare it with Italy, Great Britain actually had more deaths than Italy, and the implication being that in 2 weeks' time, we will overtake the deaths than Italy. And I mean, Italy hasn't reached 1,000 deaths a day yet. I think its highest was 750 a day. I think it dropped back yesterday, it was 654, I think. But the implication is that deaths in Britain could reach 1,000 a day. This is the problem, I think, for not just the government but democracy, because you've got these medical experts telling you this is going to happen, and you've got the military then saying, well, you want us to do this, but we can't do it unless you do that. So both the doctors and the military are saying, in order to hit the model or hit the targets you're giving us, we need you to push this society into a much more lockdown state. And it's interesting that in Great Britain, the opposition party, the Labour Party, which is usually the party of freedom, anti the establishment, is actually calling on the government to take more stringent measures. I never thought in my lifetime that I would ever see that, where the Labour Party is actually calling on the government to reduce the human rights of the British population. I think that's just shows you what strange times we're living in. Certainly in most European countries now, if you go out without a valid reason, you will be fined. And talking about in, I think it's France or Italy, something like you get fined €15,000 if you a repeat offender. That'll just break the bank, won't it? So again, it shows that there's money to be made out of pain, there's money to be made out of disease, and everything comes back to the Babylonian spell. So if people don't do what you ask of them, then find them, and we make money on it. Okay, there's a bit of humor in that, but it's interesting how the money comes back. I went to London for that special meeting that I did very briefly mention sometimes about, and I thought that the congestion charge or the pollution charge, whatever they call it, it's just a tax system, only operated Monday to Friday, and I went down on Saturday and I just got hit with a bill for £80, which I've paid. I genuinely thought that this charging system was only Monday to Friday, and of course it isn't. So there's always money to be made in times of adversity. It's just very strange. So I think the important thing is that on a world stage, there is a great deal of opportunity for anyone who's with the good side to start operating under this confusion and to try and take out, is again is a bit of a harsh word, but try to engage with elements which are pretty poor, pretty evil. The Pope has now come back into the public eye, I never for one moment thought he had the coronavirus, but he's resurfaced, I think, because he's obviously been assured that he's okay and that he can, you know, take the public place again without fear of being arrested. Always these talks about the Pope is, you know, going to be arrested or served with this warrant. That's all nonsense. Truly, that's nonsense, because if the Pope was like, it would have been served with this notice, it would have been done. A lot of people who get excited about things, and I can't blame them, because they're a pretty evil bunch of people out there. And when we, you know, see any opportunity or hope that these bad people are going to be brought to account, then you know, we'll go with that. But what I have learnt over the last few months is that public hearings, public court cases, are not the way they want it to go. Yes, there might possibly be some televised court cases at some point, but the real key makers, the real people at the top, who are labelled as very bad people, they're never ever going to be taken through the courts. It's not the way that they're going to do it, and you know, that's just the way it is, and I've had to accept that. So be very wary of people who tell you that this person's got an arrest warrant against them, or, you know, this, that, and the other. And, you know, these people are very, very powerful. These evil people are very powerful. And anyone who can bring an arrest warrant must have done so through the civilian courts. There isn't a single civilian court in any country that would sanction an arrest against someone of a very high position. They just won't. Remember that the courts are placed in there not to protect you or I, the small person, but they're there to protect the system and the elite and the people in power. That's what the court is there for, to make sure that the ordinary people don't overturn the judgments or the lifestyle or the freedoms of the elite, who have a completely different way of the world than we do. So I'm afraid that's just nonsense. What's more likely to happen is that somebody will just be, it's boots on the other foot now. Somebody might commit suicide, or retire from public life, or just disappear or die of the virus. That's far more likely than public hearings with court cases. So it's very difficult then for those of us who are seeking the truth to try to pick up when this is occurring. If there's no public confirmation of this, we can only go by what we're hearing privately, and so it's nigh on impossible for anyone to ratify it, to check it out. All we would get perhaps is that individual's disappeared. Now, if that happens, that's good enough evidence. If a key person suddenly withdraws from public life, then I think that's all the information that we need to understand what's occurred. So my message really, I think, is if we value liberties in Great Britain, which cat is that? That's the white cat. If the whole thing falls down, he's done it already once, he's had everything off the table. If we really value the liberties, and we don't want the system, the state, to have any excuse to go in and take away our freedoms, as little as they are, then we better, you know, practice this social distancing. We better go out and just keep distance. If we don't act in a reasonable way, then we are just playing into the hands of those who are pushing for martial law. Now, martial law in this instance might be great, because it might give the good guys the time to run around and do what they need to do. But we've got to trade that off against the system's understanding of what they gain out of it. In other words, if we are all put into some sort of martial law for 12 weeks, it might be very tempting at the end of that 12 weeks to extend it and extend it and extend it. So let's not give them that opportunity. Let us be much more sensible. Now, the other aspect I want to talk about, supermarkets in Great Britain, and it's all mostly about Britain, because why not? Talk about America a lot. The problem with Great Britain is that we tend to react very quickly. That's what British people do. They come up with a good idea, they react on it. And so at the moment, most supermarkets between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock in the morning, or 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, have been opening for senior people, retired people, old people, vulnerable people. But they've also been letting in the police, the doctors, the nurses. And what's happening is that nurses are working with these patients, and then they're going in the morning or what have you, into these supermarkets with 70, 80, 90-year-old frail people. And if one of those nurses has got the virus, which is highly likely, they're going to pass it to the very group of people that they're supposed to be protecting. So the government needs to step in, and I would suggest that all nurses are given priority for home delivery. In other words, if you're a nurse, a doctor, you should have priority, and there's ways of checking it because you'll have an identity card from the hospital you work at. Which cat is that? No, that's the kitten cat, Eric. If you have a, you're a legitimate emergency worker, then the supermarket should be delivering to your door. You shouldn't have to go out, for goodness sake. If you've been doing 12-hour shifts trying to save lives, and you've then got to fight your way through half-empty shelves of a supermarket, what's that all about? So, this is where we're not very good as a nation at joining the dots up. It's very easy for a fascist state or a communist state. That's why China did so remarkably well, because they just went and imposed their will, and the public just shrugged their shoulders and took it. Now, in democracies, they're not so good at doing it. So really, the emergency workers should be receiving their food to the door. They don't need to then go out to the supermarket, because many of these hospital workers are going to have this virus. I have a case at the moment in Britain of a mum, a nurse, of three children, 36 years old, been working in hospital for 15 years, and is seriously ill with it. And of course, Britain declared its youngest death from the virus, 18-year-old. So, it is serious. It is a virus that's spread, and as unfortunately and sadly as it spreads, more and more people will know of somebody who's contracted it and has got it. Well, please try and refrain from going to parties, groups. Just be more sensible. Do not give the government the excuse it needs to say, nobody out of the house unless you've got a piece of paper saying you can go out. That's not the way the British people are. We're not like that. We are an island. We're very incredibly proud, very resilient. And even during the Second World War, nobody did that to us. The only time anyone did it was Adolf Hitler. And that was because aeroplanes were dropping bombs on us. So we would go and hide in the house. And when the bombs finished falling, we'd come out again. This is peacetime. And we're looking at the situation where we are told to stay in our houses and a curfew being put on. So let's not give the government the opportunity to do that. All right, that's it so far. This is the lull before the storm time. This week is the crisis moment. I know the doctors and politicians aren't telling you that. I'm telling you this. This is the week where we will see what happens to the number of infected cases and the number of deaths. Now, if they shoot up dramatically, then we can expect a lot more bureaucracy on top of us. If this this curve, this graph, as they're calling it, is much more gentle, then you'll see the government easing off quite considerably. I think most of you in Great Britain have seen a huge increase in police officers on the street. I can't go out. I don't go out much, but when I go to the supermarket, what have you, there are police officers nearly everywhere. And the reason for that is they're worried about looting. It won't be long before somebody drives a digger through a supermarket to raid the shelves, not just to steal cash machines, but to actually start stealing from the shelves. And that is a real possibility if the situation deteriorates. Okay, that's it. Speak to you tomorrow. Take care. Bye bye.